Now, we're holding on page 100 in Sukkah, in the middle of Ois Tes Zayin, which is the Mishnah. We were in the middle of learning about the details about the Nisuch HaMayim. The last thing we said was that, so we said he would take a pitcher that held 3 log of water, fill it up, they would fill it up with water from the Shiloyach spring in Yerushalayim, and he would come and pour it on the Mizbeach each of the 7 days of Sukkot. So now the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the loig hay menasech kol shmoina. Rabbi Yehuda says that he would be pouring with a 1 log pitcher rather than 3, and for all 8 days, meaning Shmini Atzeres as well. Unlike the Tanakhama, who said it was 3 logim for each of 7 days, Rabbi Yehuda is saying it was 1 log for each of 8 days. And the Mishnah continues, V'lamenasech oimalai hagbas yodfa. The one who was pouring the water, the kohen who was pouring the water, they would tell him, lift up your hand so that everybody can see that you're pouring it into the bowls on top of the mizbeach that we learned about last time, that you're supposed to. And the reason they had to do that, shapam achas nisech echam agavi raglov, because one time a kohen poured it on his feet because he was a tzduki and he didn't believe in the concept of nisech hamayim, and everybody pelted him with their asroi. Now the Mishnah and the Gemara over here are not identifying who it was. Josephus in his histories says a story involving Yanai Melech, that he did that he poured the water on his feet and everybody pelted him with their asroigim, and he goes on to say that Yanai called out his Goyish soldiers and they killed several thousand Jews. Now, Mephoshim over here actually bring from Yerushalmi that says the other way around. They pelted him with a sroigim and with rocks, and they killed him. So either these are two different incidents, or as we have sometimes in other examples as well, where Josephus is operating off incorrect information. He wasn't living at the time. He was born over 100 years later. So he might be operating off information, off propaganda that the tzedukim of that time came up with, when really it was the other way around. They believed in Torah Shabbat, after all. So yeah, they included Kohenim. The later Hashmonoi kings themselves became Tzedukim, starting with Yochanan Kohen Gadol, became a Tzeduki after 80 years as Kohen Gadol, right? And even after that, yeah, you still had, for as long as the second Beis Hamikdash existed, for the rest of the time the second Beis Hamikdash existed, yes, there were Kohenim who were serving in there with Tzedukim. I'm sure the Chachamim would have liked to prevent it if they could, but they weren't always able to. Josephus Bechlal mentions in his histories, Bechlal, the later Kohenim Gdolim of the second Beis Hamikdash, in particular the Hashmonoi kings, even though they all have the official title of Kohen Gadol, in practice they didn't discharge the usual functions of a Kohen Gadol. In particular, they didn't do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. They wouldn't have survived the Kodesh HaKadoshim if they had. Rather, their title of Kohen Gadol was more like a political title, but their particular time when they would go and do the Avodah, when they would wear the 8 big kahuna and do the Avodah in full view of everybody, would be doing Sukkos. But Pashtos Pashut, because Sukkos is a time when it's one of the Sholosh Regalim. You have many people there, so then like they can show off their position. So here he says that he took this opportunity to show that he doesn't believe in the mitzvah. So first of all, the Gemara in Yoma points out, we learn from this that it mentions that they pelted him with a sroigim. We learn from this that the Nisuch HaMayim is done only in the morning. Only because only during the morning do people have their sroigim. Otherwise, there's no reason for the Mishnah to have to bother mentioning what they pelted him with. In fact, the Gemara goes on to say they pelted him with rocks as well, to the point where the Gemara brings that the Mizbeach was actually down, corner of the Mizbeach was damaged. It wouldn't have been if they had just thrown a sroigim. So yeah. There's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it. Namely, that the tzedukim took the view that, so like this, we have this nisuch hayayin throughout the year, where wine, which has a color and a flavor, represents the chokhmah of Torah, which we can appreciate with our brains. And then on the other hand, water represents the avodah of Kabbalah soil. It doesn't have a taste, it doesn't have a smell, it doesn't have anything, but we do it. The water is essential for life, and the same way Kabbalah soil is essential to us being Jews. So the Tzedukim took the view, we don't need Kabbalah soil. All we need is the Nisuch HaYayin, all we need is the Chochmah of Torah as we understand it. So therefore, he says, you know, so this Tzedukim is saying, you know what kind of people need the Avodah of Kabbalah Soil? The feet, the Poshita people who don't have the head to learn Torah, fine, they can have the Avodah of Kabbalah Soil. But us intelligent people, we don't need it. So they all pelted him with a Esrogim to respond back to him, just the opposite. The Esrog, we know, represents the Yid who has everything. He has Torah and he has mitzvahs. And they're saying even the Esrogim argue against you and say, no such thing. The Esrogim also know that we have to have the Avodah of Nisuch. The Esrog Jews know we have to have the Avodah of Nisuch HaMayim, the Avodah of Kabbalah. Yeah. Okay. So here he puts in a piece from the Gemara Tainis. What? Free membership of what?
Yeah.
I mean, in general, we find that tzedukim were more like the upper class, like the richer people. We were talking about the other day, actually, that Josephus mentions in his histories, and Lahavdil, we see it from the Gemara that we learned last time as well, that the Amir Aref, now we know they didn't always get along with the Chachamim, but nevertheless, they supported the Chachamim in the sense they knew that the Chachamim's way of Yiddishkeit is the only true one, so fine, they themselves may not be careful with one or another mitzvah, with one or another individual mitzvah, but nevertheless, they know that what the tzedukim are trying to do with Yiddishkeit, they want no part of. Alderach, like you have nowadays also, you have, for example, you have the famous expression that a person says that the shul that I don't go to is an Orthodox shul. So like the guy understands reform is mechutz l'machne, but he's not up to actually keeping mitzvahs, but yeah. Anyway. So here the Mechaber of En Yaakov put in a piece from Gemara Tainis. Where do we get the concept of Nisach HaMayim from? So earlier in our Masecht, actually, it says it's a halacha l'moshim. Earlier in our Perek, it says it's a halacha l'moshim Sinai. And the definition of a halacha l'moshim Sinai is there's no remez for it at all in the pasuk. However, then the Gemara brings in Masecht HaTainis an opinion that says that there is. Toni, Rabbi Yehuda ben Vesera, Nem of Asheni ben Iskehem, on the second day Sukkos by Korbanos, it says that you have to bring the Korbanos with the Iskehem, unlike all the other days, it says Veniska, so you have an extra Mem, Vashishi un Socheha, on the sixth day you have the word on Socheha with an extra Yud, Vashvi Kemishpatam, all the other days it says Kamishpat, and the seventh day it says Kemishpatam, Mem Yud Mem, so you have an extra mem, a yud, and a mem. Harei kan mayim. There you have. Spells out the word mayim. Mikan remes the nusach hamayim in our Torah. So here you have a remes from the Torah shebichsav for nusach hamayim. So obviously the tzedukim are not going to accept that, but that's neither here nor there. The point is the Gemara is discussing in the Masechta Tainis the opinions: is nusach hamayim in fact the halacha l'moshe Sinai, or is there a remes for it in the pasuk, which has certain implications in halacha as the Gemara discusses over there. Okay. Further on, so now the Mishnah had mentioned that they pour the wine and the water on the Mizbeach, and it goes down through the drains over there. As we learned last time, Rashi learns that it drained from the basins onto the roof of the Mizbeach, and then from there into the Shisin. Tosfos holds that it actually went directly from the bowls into the Shisin. Anyway, so let's talk about the Shisin a little bit. Omer Rabbi Babachana, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Shisin Mishesh Yimei Bereshis Nivru. These Shisin, these underground channels that went underneath the Beis Mikdash, underneath the Mizbeach, into which the wine and the water went, those were actually created at Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, describing the Jewish people in Shir HaShirim, Chamuke Yirechayich, the secret parts of your thighs, Kamoi Chaloyim, are like jewels, Maisi Yedei Amon, that are made by a craftsman. So let's explain what this means, phrase by phrase. The secret parts of your thighs refers to the shisin. Rashi explains the word chamuke means hidden and concealed, so this refers to the shisin which are underground. And yerechayich because they're by the side, by yerech hamizbeach, by the side of the mizbeach. In fact, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Zvachim that originally in the first Beis Mikdash, the shisin were actually outside the footprint of the Mizbeach. When you poured the wine or the water on the Mizbeach, afterwards it would flow down the side of the Mizbeach and flow down into the Shisin. In the second Beis Mikdash, the Nevi'im taught them that's not how it should be. In the second Beis Mikdash, Hashem wants the Mizbeach to be larger, and it should actually include the area of the Shisin, and therefore there will be a hollow space over there. There will be a hollow channel within the Mizbeach that will descend down to the Shisin, and the wine and the water will go directly into it. And they showed them how you douse in it from Sukkim. So, but in any case, these shisin are by the side, by the yerech hamizbeach, and therefore they can be described as chamuke yerechayich, the hidden things that are by the side of the mizbeach. And the pasuk said kamoi choloim, they're like choloim, which the simple meaning of choloim, Mefoshim explained on the pasuk, means like jewels, like settings of jewels. But here the Gemara is darshining choloim means shem chololin the yodin anatahoim. They're hollowed out, and it was holoim, it's like the word hollow, they're hollowed out and they go all the way down to the underground depths. later on in the next Perek, the Gemara tells us about that they go, actually, the Gemara is going to mention it over here briefly as well, that they go down thousands of amas, all the way down to the underground, all the way down to the underground waters. And then when it continues, Maisi Yedei Amon, these are the makings of the hands of the craftsman. That means the ultimate craftsman, Hashem, Maisi Yedei Umenuse Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. These were made by the craftsmanship of Hashem himself. So therefore we see, so the Pasuk is hinting at the Shisin and saying that they were created by Hashem himself at the time when he created the world. Maushal over here also refers to Rashi.
All this was created before the world.
So they're saying when before the world was created, Hashem already created the Shisin, which are going to be needed on the spot of the Mizbeach for the Nesachim to go down underground. Maushal brings over here also from Rashi on Shir Hashirim, who explains that also the word Chaloyim can also mean the comparison to Yerach is not just like the Gemara is saying, not just like Rashi is saying over here, because it's next to the Mizbeach, but also because the Yerach is round, and the same way these holes are round in cross section, and they go all the way down. And Chaloyim, he says, is Maloshin Chafira, is a Loshin of Dig. What?
Still there today.
So Mahashas, it's still there today. So, yeah. They've done surveys. The British archaeologists did a survey on the Harabais in the 1860s. They found various underground tunnels and channels and whatever going this way and that. One of those might be the Shisin. We don't know. Tonet Veda Bishmal, here's another thing. Bereshis, the very first word of the Torah. Bereshis, Altikur Bereshis, Ela Boroshis. That Hashem created the Shis. Now, we're all familiar from the Bar Mitzvah Maimon with a different meaning of Boroshis, that it means that Hashem created the six Midas, but here the Gemara is taking it in the sense of Shis, as in the Shisin, these hollows that go all the way down underground, and the water and the wine go down into them. So they're all created right at the beginning from Sheshes and Ebereshes. Now Tosfos points out that the problem is in the next perek we're going to talk about that David dug the Shisin, and the Gemara is going to tell us a whole story over there. Here he mentions it briefly. So what's going on over here? If we're saying that Hashem created them by Sheshes and Ebereshes, then what is David doing a couple of thousand years later? So that's what we're gonna, because David was preparing for the Vismitter, so that means he has to prepare the Shisin. But the question is, what's David doing if Hashem already did it when the world was created? So Maharshal talks about over here that, so Tosfos says that actually it may be two different Lashonis of what Rabbi Yochanan holds, because here we're saying that they were created by Hashem, but later on in the next Perek we learn that they were dug by David. On the other hand, Maharshal says it doesn't necessarily have to be the Shisin that we talk about in the next Perek that David dug, may not be the Shisin that we're talking about over here, where the wine and the water flows down into, but rather the foundations of the Beis Mikdash. And so those are what David dug. Those didn't exist from Sheshes and Ebereshes. And therefore, so now you can say the same thing over here then. So they're both called Shisin, but they're two different things. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Rav Yosiyim, Shisin Cholalin V'Yodin Adatahoyim, the Shisin are hollowed out, and they go all the way down until the depths. Va'alehem Bonur Kora David Tezayin Elef Amah. And David went and then dug them out further, another 16,000 amas. So the details of that actually is going to be, so Maharsha explains, according to that, so now again, Tosfos discusses that, it comes out therefore that the whole thing is Bidei Adam, then in that case it doesn't mean that Hashem created it by Sheshes Mebereshes in the first place, but rather that David dug the whole thing out. On the other hand, again, Maharsha says maybe not necessarily. Rabbi Yossi would agree there was something there from Sheshes Mebereshes, but it didn't necessarily go all the way down to the Tahoim. David continued digging down 16,000 amas until he reached the Tahoim. So in the next parak, when we get to the story, the Gemara is going to tell on Daphne and Gimel, then we're going to get to the details of what David did over there and the whole story that happened when he dug out the Shisin. Anyway, Shenemar. How do we know that to, so how do we know about the importance of the Shisin and that Hashem created them in the first place? Shenema, the pasuk says, the Navi Yeshaya says in Hashem's name, Oshiro Noli Didi Shiras Dodi Lakarmai. I'm going to sing on behalf of my beloved. This is the Navi saying, I'm going to sing on behalf of Hashem a song of my beloved about his vineyard. And he starts by describing that as a mushel, the Jewish people are compared to a vineyard. Kerem Hoyo the Didi Keren Ben Shomen. My beloved Hashem had a vineyard in a in Keren Ben Shomen. Keren literally means a corner, and Ben Shomen means that's very fat, that's very fertile. So which Eretz Yisrael is the most fertile and then best corner of all the lands in the world. So Hashem has a vineyard, meaning the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, and he continues. Via Azakehu, he surrounded them with stone walls, which means Rashi says he made for them, they had fortified cities in Eretz Yisrael. Via Saklehu, and then he removed the stones, which means that Hashem got rid of the Canaanim who lived over there in order that the Jewish people should be able to develop to their fullest in a land where they're not going to have Goyim harassing them or trying to convince them to worship Avodah Zarah or do other Avedas. Vayitaehu Sodek, and he planted a Sodek, which is a very high quality vine. So that refers, Rashi says, to the Vismikdash. Rashi on the Pasuk there mentions another point as well. The word Sodek is Gematria 606. That represents that first we had Sheva Mitzvahs, like the whole rest of the world, and then Hashem added another 606 and gave us total 613. Anyway, Vayivan Migdol B'Sodchai, then Hashem built a tower in the middle of that vineyard, and that, the Gemara, and that represents the Mizbeach, V'gam Yekev Chotzev Boy, and also Hashem carved out a wine press over there. A wine press back then was made, there was a big pit in the ground where you would trample on the grapes, and then you'd press them to make the grape juice, which eventually turns into wine. So the Yekev over here represents the Shisin, which are dug into the ground. So, Vayitaehu Sodek Zavesimekdash, the Sodek, the very high quality vine, and Rashi points out a sodek would be normally like you can plant a vine, for example, by taking a cutting from one vine and then you take a branch from one vine and you replant it someplace else. But the higher quality would be when you take the roots of the vine. So therefore, this represents the Besmiklash, which is the root, the main thing of the Jewish people. And the Zeb Beis Hamikdash, but even Migdol B'Sochei Zemizbeach, the tower that he built in the middle of it represents the Mizbeach, which is tall and narrow like a tower. V'gam Yekev Chotzev Boy, and he also dug a wine press in there. Elu Shisin, that refers to the Shisin. So we see, in other words, that all of those are essential things that Hashem built for the sake of the Jewish people, including the Shisin. So we see that they existed from Sheishes and Ebreishes.
The Shisin was the one.
The Pashas was just the one. You had the wine and the water both flowed down into that, presumably. Marsha brings that Tosfos brings a different gears from Tosefta, that the tower represents the Hechel, the Yekev represents the Mizbeach, and Yalkut Shimoni has a similar gears. So then Sodek would refer to the Jewish people, where we find other psukim where the Jewish people are compared to a Sodek. The point is, the Navi goes on to say that Hashem is saying, I expected that with all of this, this vineyard would produce the best quality grapes and the best quality wine, and now it's not, and therefore Hashem is saying, I'm disappointed with it, and Nimshol, we understand. Okay. Going back a few blocks now, So the Gemara had been discussing the dinim of the lulav and then taking the lulav and taking the arava. So now the Gemara brings in this connection. Amar Rav Abahu, Amar Rav Elazar, kol makayim or hanota lulav ve'egdoi. A person does the mitzvah of lulav bound up with the other minim. Where technically, by the way, in the previous parak, it talks about, in principle, api alocha, you don't have to bind them. You're yotze, even if the minim are not bound. But a person binds them, which shows that he loves the mitzvah and wants to do it in the best possible way. Vahadas va'avoisoi, and he takes vahadasim with their groups of three. So in other words, even though, for example, you could have, let's say, in principle, a person can be yotze with hadasim that have only one set of mishaloshin at the top. All the rest of the leaves, in principle, can be not in threes and only on the top and v'di'evid yotze like that. But here, a person doesn't do that. He takes it properly by avoisoi, where the whole thing is avois. The whole thing is three by three. Mala, all of our kosev, kila bonim is veach, the hikrav, all of korban, Hashem counts it on his behalf as though he built the mizbeach and brought a korban on it. Shanema, as the pasuk says, isru chag ba'avoisim ad karnes ha-mizbeach. Tie up the chag, the yomtiv, ba'avoisim, so isru would refer to the tying the lulav, ba'avoisim would refer to the hadasim, which are 3x3 like they should be. Ad karnes ha-mizbeach, and that counts as if it was all the way to the corners of the mizbeach, as if it was matan damim, as if there was blood being sprinkled on the corners of the mizbeach. And then the Gemara continues. Now you have the question is the Orach HaNer asks the question that usually we don't find the blood of Korbanos is not usually sprinkled on the corners of the Mizbeach. The corners meaning the top, the things that stick out on the top, you usually only find that by Chakas. Most other Korbanos, you have Shtayim Shein Arba down near the bottom on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. You have it's on the corners, but they're not the Kronos, but rather the Zovius, the corners where one wall meets the next one. So why over here does it say Al-Kanus HaMizbeach? Al-Kanus HaMizbeach. So he says, because we find by the Chanukah Sabayis of the third Beis Mikdash, Shibonim Behed of Yamenu, that Yechezkel describes that the blood of the special Korbanos Miluim that will be brought then will be applied to the corners of the Mizbeach. So therefore we're saying that this person is not just like he built Stam HaMizbeach, we're talking about like he built the Mizbeach of the third Beis Mikdash and brought in the Korbanos HaMiluim that are going to inaugurate it as the Mizbeach that's going to be used for all time. Then the Gemara continues. Amr Rav Yirmi Mishum Rav Shimon Yechoy, Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Hamachuzi, Mishum Rav Yosi Hamachuzi, or Yochanan Hamachuzi. Here's another thing we can learn from that passage. Kola Oisu Isur Lachad Ba'achilo Vashsia, a person who makes an Isur for the Yomtiv with eating and drinking. So Isur means connection, means binding, just like we said, by binding the lulav. So he binds together the day after he binds the yomtiv together with eating and drinking. Rashi has two explanations. One, that he binds the simcha of the yomtiv itself with eating and drinking. In other words, he doesn't just do, as the Gemara mentions elsewhere, you could conceivably celebrate a yomtiv as kula la'avaya. That's all for Hashem, and the whole time is davening and learning. But a person doesn't. He takes the time to enjoy the yomtiv with food and drink. The second explanation, Rashi says it means the day after yomtiv, which is where we get the name Yisrochag from Rashi's second explanation here. So when he does that, Mala all of our kosev kila bonim mizbeach the ikrav olav korban. Again, Hashem counts it and credits him as though he built a mizbeach and brought a korban on it. Shenema Yisrochag ba'avos matkanes mizbeach. So here we understand Yisrochag. He ties up the yomtiv, either the yomtiv itself or the day after yomtiv. But avosim, now we understand avosim means meloshin fat animals. So he eats fat, good quality meat, and other delicacies. Then Hashem counts it ad karnes ha-mizbeach. Now, so Rashi's explanation of Isur again means that he ties the yomtiv itself or the day after yomtiv to with the simcha of yomtiv with the eating and drinking. Marsha says that no, what it means is Isur in the simple sense of making an Isur for himself. He makes sure not to eat too much on Yom Tov. He shouldn't eat achilagasa and not to get drunk. So now Hashem credits him that he, on the one hand, he enjoyed the Yom Tov, but he knew not to go overboard. So for that, Hashem counts it, Kilim Bonim is Beach Mehikr Vol of Carbon. The Orach HaNer makes a point. You have kind of three different levels over here. You have what a person could do Bizman Shebeis Mikdash Kayim, where you can bring an actual korban. Then you have when there's no Beis Mikdash, where at least he can do Lulav and Esrog. And if he can't even afford Lulav and Esrog, then Akaponim he can do this as far as Isur L'Chag. So therefore, and then the Pasuk is saying that all three of those, Hashem gives him the credit for that, each one according to what he could have done. The Gemara goes on, Omer of Chizkiya, Omer of Yirmiya, Omer of Shimon Yechoy, Kolam mitzvahs kulan einanam yotze behen el derach di losan. All mitzvahs, a person is yotze with them only when he holds them in the way in which they grow. We learned this in Yuma, for example, as far as the krushim of the Mishkan. Actually, that's the pasuk that Gemara brings over here. The krushim of the Mishkan had to be made. The side that was towards the roots when the tree was alive has to be the bottom end of the krushim now, and the top end, you can't flip them upside down. And the same thing with other mitzvahs, the same thing with the Dalad Minim, they also have to be facing up. The one thing we have, the confusion is as far as the esrog actually grows on the tree with the pitim hanging downward. However, the ukitz is considered to be the bottom end because it's closer to the roots of the tree. So therefore, so that's why we take the lulav with the pitim upward. If you take it with the pitim downward, then it's upside down. You know, that is the direction in which it grows on the tree. So you have in the velt they hold it upside down when they're starting to make the bracha, and then they turn it right side up for the reason that we learned before, because Tosfos points out as soon as you're holding them, you're already yotze the mitzvah, and you have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Our minhag, instead of doing that, is we leave it on the table under and in the box or whatever until we're almost finished the bracha, and then we pick it up. So that's what we're saying. Derech Gilasim. That's what I'm saying. So if you look at an esrog tree, if you look at an esrog growing on a tree, you will see that the esrogim are growing with the pitim hanging downward. However, we don't consider that to be Derech Gilasim. Derech Gilasim is the other way around, with the pitim up, because the pitim, first of all, when they start growing, when they're little, then the pitim is up. As they become larger and heavier, then they turn downward. But essentially, the ukets, which is the stem by which it was attached to the tree when it was alive, is the bottom, and the pitim, which is what's left over of the flower that it grew from, is considered the top. So, talks over there about the importance of after shitting, about shlustikusha and all that thing. So kol hamitzvos kolin enon yetzven elo derech gedolsen shenema atzei shittim oimdim, as the pasuk says, wood of shittim that is standing. So it doesn't just mean, now Rashi on Chumash mentions, it means, in other words, you shouldn't think that the walls of the Mishkan should be built like the way you build a wooden ship, where you put one beam and then another one on top of it and so forth, where the beams are lying horizontally. No, here it means they go vertical. But we also learn from that that it means that they have to be standing in the way in which they grew to begin. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Atzei Shittim Oimdim, Shema Amidon Derech Gedolasan, means you have to put them up in the direction in which they grew when they were alive. Dover Acha Oimdim, another meaning of Oimdim, Shema Amidon Es Tzipuyon, they keep their gold plating on, meaning, so Rashi explains over here that it means that they would attach the gold plating to it with golden nails. They wouldn't just make each keresh was 10 amos long. They didn't just make one solid sheet of gold 10 amos long and then wrap it around the keresh, and that way it would stay on. No, they made it out of pieces that were held on by nails. Rashi and Yuma, where we learned this also not so long ago, says another point is also that it means that the wood never rotted away, and therefore the gold plating never fell off. Dover Acha Oimdin, another meaning of Oimdin, Shema Toma Ovad Sivron Avoto Sikuyon. You might think that the hope and the future of those Kroshim is gone, because once the oil moed was hidden away, once they built the Beis Hamikdash and they hid away the oil moed, it's never going to be needed again. So there's no hope and no future for them. They continue to exist forever. So we look forward to, now they're not necessarily, I mean, the Beis Hamikdash is, the Beis Hamikdash is not, the third Beis Hamikdash is not necessarily going to need them, but nevertheless, they will still exist and they will be brought out when the Beis Hamikdash is built. Marsha says also, we learned over there in Yuma, that Marsha points out, you would have thought, how could wooden beams like that survive for thousands of years? Wouldn't they long since have rotted away? No, the word Omnim means that they last forever. Okay. There, by the way, after the statement of Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, which was in connection with the mitzvah of lulav about Derech Gedolasan, that was when we learned the previous things that Rav Shimon Ben Yochai had said before about Reisi Bnei Aliyah Vehin Mu'atin and Yecholim Lifter Eskola and Kulam Anadin. In the Gemara, those are after this. Why the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov put it out of order, as we've had many times before, he does that, and I have yet to understand why.
When we say Omar Chizki Omar Birmiya Omar Shimon Bar Chai, it means that those three, they said different time or the same time?
It means Rav Chizkiya is saying that Rav Yumiya had said, that Rav Shimon Ben Yochai had said. Now, Rav Yumiya, they're repeating from Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. Now, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai lived a long time before Rav Yumiya. Rav Yumiya was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, and this is 150, 200 years after Rav Shimon. So it doesn't mean that he heard it directly from him. It means that he had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, and that it goes back to him. So there's more than one Chizkiya or Reb Chizkiya in the Gemara. A lot of times we have Chizkiya in the Gemara without Rebbe. He was a son of Reb Chia, and he was one of the Rebbe, he was the main Rebbe of Reb Yechon. But then you have, this is Rebbe Chizkiya, who was a later Amora, and as we can see over here, is a Talmud of Reb Yechon. The Mishnah says, every other day of Sukkot, the first 6 days, they would walk around the Mizbeach one time. And we had earlier in the Perek, there was a machlokas whether they would do it while they're holding their lulavim or whether it's while they're holding the aravos. Anyway, but only honor Hashem Hoshia, no, honor Hashem Hoshia or Atzlicha, no. And they would say that possible. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, instead of honor Hashem Hoshiyana, Rabbi Yehuda says they would say Ani Vahu Hoshiyana, Ani Vahu Hoshiyo Hatzlichana. What is Ani Vahu? So first of all, Rashi explains there's a few things. The words Ani Vahu are the same gematria as honor Hashem. So therefore, it can substitute for honor Hashem. Second of all, Rashi says that you have the famous 72 names of Hashem that come from last week's parasha. You have in Parashas B'Shalach, right before Kriyas Yamsif, you have three psukim back to back that each have 72 letters. The first one begins Vayisa, the second one goes Vayisa, Malach, the Kim, Aholach, Lefne, Machne, Yisrael, etc., Vayove, Ben Machne, and Sam, Ben Machne, Yisrael, etc., and Vayet, Moshe, Yod, El, Yom, B'cholot. So each one of them has 72 letters, and then Sifrei Kabbalah, it talks about that what you can do is you take the first pasuk and you put it in straight order. You take the second pasuk and put it in backwards order, and the third one again in straight order. And then the result is you put them in, and you put them one above the other. You end up with 72 three-letter combinations. So for example, the first combination is Vav, He, and Vav. You have the Vav of Vayisa, the He of the last word of the second Pasuk Haloila, and the Vav that begins the third Pasuk Vayet. And then you have the second one and the third one and so forth, and you go through like that, and you have 72 names of Hashem that are each made of three letters. There's different places, Sefer Aziel Malach talks about them, there's different other places in Sifrei Kabbalah where it talks about them. So here now what you have is, of those 72, the first one is Vav Hei Vav. The 37th one, which means, in other words, the beginning of the second half, is Aleph Nun Aleph. So therefore you have Aleph Nun Yud, rather. So there you have Ani Vahu comes from those names of Hashem. So the Aruch HaNer points out, by the way, I mean, so you have the question. And so first of all, so the question becomes then, in that case, then why are we, why are we doing it out of order? So we should put Vahu first and then Ani. After all, that's the order in which they come. So there's another explanation, actually. There's another explanation that Rishonim say, because the word Ani Vahu also represents two psukim that refer to the fact that Hashem is always Imoy Anochi Betzara. Ani, you have that, You have a pasuk where Hashem says that I don't remember which pasuk it is, but there's a pasuk where Hashem says on Himself ani that I am imoy anochi b'tzarai. You have, but there's other pasukim. There's a pasuk that has the word ani. I don't remember now which one it is that represents that Hashem is with us in all our tzaras. And then you have a pasuk from Yechezkel va'ani b'ser hagoyla al nahar tavar. Now, in the simple meaning, it means that Yechezkel himself is describing, I was among the Jewish people in Golos by Nahar Kvar, and then I saw the vision. But we also understand that it means Hashem himself is saying, Ani, I myself am among the Gola, because we know that the Shechina goes with the Jewish people wherever we go. And then the Vahu is, you have a pasuk from Yirmiyah, Vahu Osir Bozikin. Again, in context, the pasuk is talking about Yirmiyah himself, that he was in chains, that he was going in when the psukim described over there, Nebuchadnezzar had told Nebuzaradan, his general, he knew that Yirmiyah all these years had been giving Nebuah, do tshuva, the Mesnecha shouldn't be destroyed, listen to Nebuchadnezzar, don't rebel against him, and so Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of derech eretz for Yirmiyah, so he tells Nebuzaradan, make sure to treat him nicely. Meanwhile, Yirmiyah is not going to stand for that. He doesn't want to have special treatment. So when he sees groups of Jews who are in chains over there, Vahu Osir Bozikim, he went and put himself among the chains as well. Nebuzaradan has to keep on schlepping him out of that, kind of. But again, the Vahu Osir Bozikim in a deeper level means not just another Yirmiyah, means Hashem himself is, so to speak, bound up in chains with the Jewish people. So therefore, Ani Vahu also represents that Hashem is saying, I, in both of those psukim, am representing myself at Imoy Anochi B'Tzara. So that's another reason why we say that. By the way, there are Sidurim, you can find many Sidurim, in particular Nusach Ashkenaz, where they have the Nusach Ani Vahoy, with a Cholam on the second Vav. And Rav Yaakov Emden, for example, explains that that's how it should be. But the Alter Rebbe, in his Siddur, specifically says it should be Vahu, with a Shuruk. And the reason is because, so it should also represent that idea of Ani Vahu, that Hashem is with us in our Tzaris.
also Anivehu, it's a two level of Gilui Hashem.
So it's two level, right. But the question is asked, though, why we have it in that order. Why Ani and then Vahu rather than the other way around? One thing is, the Aruch HaNer points out, when you look at it, if you look at those 72 combinations that Rashi is referring to, you find not only the first one is Vav Hei Vav, also the 49th one is. So therefore, they actually do go in order, 37th and 49th, Ani being the 37th, Vahu being the 49th. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they would say that instead of Ona Hashem Hoshiyana. Now, why Taka are they doing that? Marsha explains, because usually, fine, of course, the rest of the time we say Hallel, we say Ona Hashem Hoshiyana. But now, specifically on Sukkos, when we're doing Hakofos around the Mizbeach, and nowadays when we do around the Bima, and we want to ask that Hashem should, the same way, should be Makif, that Hashem should surround us and protect us, then, and we're reenacting with that what they did by Yericho before the walls fell. So therefore, specifically, we want to invoke these names of Hashem Ani Vahu to represent Imo Yonosu B'Tzara. And Marsha goes on to say that's also why would they surround the Mishmikdash, the Mizbeach, Davka with Arovas? Because Arovas represent the Rishoyim. So therefore, so we're asking Hashem to protect us and get rid of the Rishoyim, as in fact we see that on Hashanah Rabba, we take the Arovas and we beat them on the ground to represent what should happen to the Rishoyim. Anyway, it continues the Mishnah. On that day, on Hashanah Rabba, they would surround the Mizbeach 7 times. Just like now, on Hashanah Rabba, we go around the Bima 7 times. V'shas tiros and mahen aymrim. What would they say when they're leaving, when they're taking leave of the Mizbeach? It may mean every day, it may mean dafka after Hashanah Rabba. Anyway, they would say, yoifi loch Mizbeach, yoifi loch Mizbeach. Beauty for you, Mizbeach, beauty for you, Mizbeach. Meaning Rashi says, they're saying, we're doing all this beauty for you, the Mizbeach, because you bring kapara for us. So therefore, we're like honoring you with all of this covered by going around you and putting the arovas around you and so forth. Marsha refers to, we have at the end of the Masechta, the famous story with Miriam Bas Bilga, which we'll talk about in detail when we get to it, as the Shem. But anyway, so there, Kratet, she kicked the Mizbeach and called it names, so now we're saying we're just the opposite. Yofi Loch Mizbeach, we know that the Mizbeach has beauty and glory. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Lekah the Loch Mizbeach, Lekah the Loch Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the Loshan they would say is, to Hashem and for you, Mizbeach, to Hashem and for you, Mizbeach, is whom we're doing this covered for. And Marsha adds, in other words, the point is, Miriam Bas Bilga was koifer, and saying, claiming that the Bismikdash and Hashem don't stand up for the Jewish people in their trouble. Now we're saying, fakir, we recognize that, no, Hashem does stand for us, and the Mizbeach does help us out with the Korbanos. But the Gemara asks, "Welcome, shtat of Shem Shemayim b'dav achad." Isn't there a problem with this expression, "Lekav loch mizbeach"? It comes out they're putting Hashem's name together with something else. V'tanya, and we learn in a brisa. Omer of Shem Ben Yochai, kolam shtat of Shem Shemayim b'dav achad, nekam in a olam. Anybody who combines together Hashem's name with something else, because even as great as a mizbeach is, it's a nivra. You don't combine a nivra together with the Eivishter. So anybody who does, nekam in a olam, is going to be uprooted from the world. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, we have it in next week's parasha, dilti l'Hashem levadoi. Only to Hashem alone. The Pasuk is talking about bringing korbanos, levech le'kin yachram, but it means you're not allowed to combine Hashem together with anything else. So how can they say, l'kah v'loch mizbeach? And the answer is, hochi ka'amri, l'kah anu modim v'loch anu mekalsim. They're not putting them together. They're saying, Hashem, we're thanking for giving us these mitzvahs and for making us Jews and so on and so forth. And to you, mizbeach, we're praising that you're the vehicle through which Hashem brings us kapara. We thank Hashem and we're praising and we're talking about the greatness of you, the Mizbeach, that you're so precious to us that through you comes the Kapara for us. Tosfos elsewhere points out, by the way, you have Psukim where it does seem they have Hashem together with something else. For example, when Gideon and his army are attacking Midian, they use the expression and they yell out, Cherev Hashem ul Gideon. So how is that not Meshach of Shem Shemayim B'davacha? So Tosfos explains, because the problem is only when you're saying it in a way that makes it sound like worship. When they're saying Cherev L'Hashem L'Gideon, nobody's saying that it doesn't even sound, there's not even a Havam in it to think that anybody's saying we're worshiping Gideon. They're saying Hashem, through Gideon, is fighting on our behalf. Hashem is fighting on our behalf, and Gidon is his messenger to do it. So that's not Meshatav Shem Shemayim the Davaracha. Where is over here on the face of it when they're saying Lakav Alach Mizbeach? It sounds like it means that we're worshiping or we're praising both Hashem and the Mizbeach, and that's wrong. And therefore, the Gemara says that's not what it means. We're saying separately to Hashem and separately to the Mizbeach. There is, by the way, another point in this.
How do you Meshavak somebody else next to Meshavak?
So that's what we're saying, because we're saying two different things. When they say Lakav Alach Mizbeach, they mean to Hashem and then separately to the Mizbeach. So that's allowed. There are, by the way, Rishonim who learn that primarily the problem in Meshat of Shem Shemayim Medavacha is really more primarily when a person swears. You have, for example, let's say, if you have a Goyish business partner or whatever, and he has to swear in court, and he might swear in the name, let's say, you know, he's gonna swear in the name of Hashem plus whatever, his guy over there, is that a problem that you're causing him to do that? So the Gemara discusses elsewhere that shittuf is mutter for goyim, whether that means shittuf as far as worship, whether it means shittuf only as far as swearing. So for them, it's mutter, it's not such a big problem. But if a yid were to swear, for example, by Hashem and something else, that would be a problem, and that's what the Gemara is saying over here, nekam and adam. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea, when it comes to worship, there's less of an issue of goyim doing shittuf. Thus, for example, there's less of a problem with the Christians worshipping Hashem plus their guy, because after all, they get their hashpah not directly from Hashem anyway. They anyway get it through their sarim. So there's anyway a certain degree of shittuf as it is over there. Whereas by us, where we get directly from the Eidishta, then for us, shittuf is off the table completely.
The
Eidishta
court, they don't make a yid swear,
they affirm a lot of times, so that helps also, right? Yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach of Gola. It's today. It's today. Your test, yeah. Thank you. Okay. It's very clear that Ebba says that our generation is the last generation of Golos and the first generation of Gola, because we know the Friedrich Rebbe already announced back in his time, La'alta L'Tshuva, La'alta L'Gola, as he was announcing throughout Tafshin Aleph and Tafshin Beis and so forth, and Imdu Hochem Kochem, everybody has to stand ready for Mashiach Tzeinu, and how much more so now that it's decades after that, then for sure it must be that's time for the Gola. Okay, we begin a new set of halachas and a new simen in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Chiyuvim of it. Now, so you have, in principle, on Shabbos, you're allowed to add aliyahs, although, as we know, that we have the minhag not to do that. When you do that, then, in principle, you're allowed to even call a kohen or a levi to Achron, because you already have the seven, The same way, that's not so negay to us, since we don't do haysafis. However, it is relevant to know, as we know, that the master can be a kohen or a levi. Even if you add aliyahs, you can even have the Achron can be a kohen, and the master can also be a kohen or whatever, because you have the kaddish in between them. Simchas Torah, when we have three Sefer Torah come out, then you can have a Koyin can be Chosin Torah, and another one be Chosin Bereshis, and another one be Mafter, because each one is in a separate Sefer Torah. On the other hand, though, other times when you take out three Sefer Torah, then you can't do that, because the fact is, on other times when you take out three Sefer Torah, you haven't actually finished the Kriya, you haven't actually finished the number of Aliyahs in the first Sefer Torah. So, in other words, you have, there's a chiyuv of kriya for that day. You have a parasha to read, parashas Miketz, for example, during Hanukkah, and similarly the other times, and you haven't yet finished, because you don't have you still have to read the parts of Rosh Chodesh and the part of Hanukkah. Only the part of Hanukkah is the master, the other parts are not, and therefore, so you could call, again, you could call one for Rosh Chodesh and one for Hanukkah, let's say, but you can't have all three. You can't have the last aliyah in the parasha of the week be a koyan, even if they add extra aliyahs and so on and so forth. Similarly, Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Chodesh.